News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
Having a great weekend so far. We've got a beautiful Sunday on the go. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Brittany.
All right, so this weather, it's going to be another warm one today. Like here in Saskatoon, we're going to get to around 4 degrees, even warmer in Regina. Is this, you know, we're loving the warm weather, but is this going to cause some hardships for our plants?
Well, I've noticed, like, even around my yard, completely around the house is pretty much melted, and yep. and on the south side is dry even. So one thing I've just warned people about, if you have, especially on the south side or any side of the house that the snow is totally melted away from, because don't forget, like I said before in other shows, is that when it's, you know, when it gets to be plus, you know, 5 to 9 degrees, it's like plus 12 against the house, right?
Yeah.
It's quite a bit warmer. So the snow melts away, obviously. And I know that even this time of the year, a lot of people like to get, if they have a lot of snow, you want to move the snow away from the house just to stop flooding. But keep about 2 inches, 1 to 2 inches of snow on top of the ground. And especially if you've got hydrangeas, if you have some perennials along the wall, puts just an inch or two of snow. That's all you really need. That won't cause a problem really with moisture around the foundation, but it'll just help protect the plants. Because Brittany, it's still March, right?
Yeah.
And with March, we can get two things. One, we can get lots of snow yet. We can get 25% of our snow for the year, for the winter.
Yeah.
But also, we can get the temperatures could start yo-yoing, and we could get cold temperatures. I was just looking at the weather forecast. It looks like right across Saskatchewan on Wednesday night, we're supposed to go down to around minus 15 to minus 17 degrees. And so if you've got plants that are totally exposed, that's not good for them, for the root system. So making sure that you, the top is usually okay, Brittany. It's the root system you have to protect, especially perennials.
Yeah.
So just an inch or two of snow, that's all it really needs to give it a blanket so that they're protected for the wintertime.
Perfect. If you've got a question, you can give us a call or send us a text. The number is 1-877-332-8255. Now, in terms of covering up next to the house, does that apply, like, even if it's just grass, Rick, will grass to the house have an issue, or fine?
Grass can handle it. It's okay. Not a problem. It'll turn sort of more of a brown color, obviously, when it's not protected like that. But yeah. Grass is fine. But it's a lot of perennials. Got to remember, there's a lot of perennials that are out there that are more of a zone 4 rather than a zone 3, which grass is almost zone 2. A lot of our grass seeds,
yeah.
And so they can handle it. The biggest thing would be more your things like your shrubs, like your hydrangeas, your rhododendrons, your azaleas, your a lot of your perennials, they just need a little bit of protection. If you have roses up against that wall, you may want to protect those as well. It's just the root system that needs protecting again, like I said. So
yeah,
just make sure you get that covered up.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, just tuck them in under a little blanket of snow there. Awesome. Okay, here is a text from Karen in Swift Current. I'm growing pepper seedlings and have found little beige bugs on my plants. What can I do? These plants are growing in a grow tent. It's my first time using a tent. Do you have any advice?
Peppers is what greenhouses use, peppers in the greenhouse as indicator plants. They're basically most likely what you have is some baby aphids.
Oh, okay.
And so aphids are the number one insect that just loves peppers. So if you do have aphids, just what you can do is you can spray them with a product called Endol or just some insecticidal soap, and that's all you need to do indoors. And if you get them now, because they're born pregnant, okay? So once they're born pregnant, they start giving birth. So within 2 weeks, you're going to have multiple generations already. So get onto it right away and just hit them with some insecticidal soap, safe to use indoors, and you can take care of them right away.
Perfect. All right. Now we've got Ian on the line in Saskatoon. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call, Rick. I had never, ever grown an azalea plant before. So I bought one at the end of November, beautiful in bloom, got it at, you know, place in town. Within 6 weeks, everything had pretty much died back except for a bunch of, you know, all the flowers. It was dropping a bunch of leaves. By another 3-4 weeks, I thought it was going to die for sure. So I gave it a hard prune, and much to my surprise, it is coming back with all kinds of foliage.
Yep.
So I've read online that they're tough to grow, but there's so many things online. I thought, well, I'll ask Rick.
Yep.
Will they ever bloom again? And how do I keep this thing alive? It seems to go through water every 2 days.
Yeah, so that's one thing you may want to do is you may want to transplant that plant into just a one size larger pot, okay, because the pot is, where that plant is, where it is, it's probably root bound, and so that's why it's drying out so quick. So go to one size bigger. I'm not sure if it's probably in a 6 or 8 inch pot that you would have bought it in, and then you can move it up to like a up to a maximum about a 12 inch pot be the most, but you know, depending on size, 6 inch or 8 inch, I'd go to 12 inch, and 6 inch, I might go just to an 8 inch, because to get them to bloom, the roots have to be touching the side of the pot, okay, again. And then also you need to acidify the soil a little bit. Our waters are more on the alkaline side than when you're watering it. So you want to acidify. If you want them to bloom, you're going to have to add some, basically a three-finger pinch of aluminum sulfate at least every 2 weeks around the plant, okay? And then that will help the plant, the soil be more acid, and then that will promote them to bloom. And also you want to get bright light. If you get bright light, then you'll get that. And this time of the year, the daylight and the nighttime hours are about the same, so that's a time that they'll trigger them to bloom as well.
Okay. I put it into a west window, a bay window, but it's brand new windows with less, you know, with the coatings on them.
Yep.
So I'm even surprised that it's doing as well as it is.
Yeah, it should be fine, though. You'll get enough light coming through those windows that it should be okay. If you really want to get a bloom quicker, then you can supplement with a grow light as well.
Okay. Do they bloom any time of year?
Yeah, they bloom. They bloom. You'll see them bloom in the greenhouses. They got two seasons. One will be in the fall, is around Christmas time, and then right about now is that we'll see them starting to come out. Now we get usually this time of the year is when I can order lots of azaleas for gardenscape. You know, when we are in the end of March.
Yep.
And so this is the time of the year that the greenhouses will force them to grow in the greenhouses. So this is a perfect time of the year to get them to start to bloom again.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Ian. Have a good day. All right. Here's another one from the text line. No name on this one. What are the best kind of wood chips to put in the garden?
Wood chips to put in the garden?
Yeah.
You can put any kind of wood chips in the garden. The ones I like to use is a cedar. Is a cedar mulch, not a chip, actually. It's a cedar mulch. The reason why I use a mulch is that it's finer and it'll help, now I'm just going to think, Brittany, is this to, if you're going to work into the garden, I'll use a mulch for sure, okay?
Yeah.
If you just want to put it on top of the garden, I'll also use a mulch. That'll help keep moisture in, keep weeds down. So you could use it for either one. So, but working in cedar mulch, they'll last longer. Cedar doesn't break down as quickly. Okay.
Oh, perfect.
And that would be what I would use is cedar mulch.
Okay, awesome. All right, if you've got a question for Rick, you can give us a call or send us a text. Our number is 1-877-332-8255. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and you were listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Beautiful Sunday on the go. I am Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke. If you've got a question for Rick, you can give us a call, send us a text, 1-877-332-8255. Right now we've got Jean from Regina on the line. Good morning, Jean.
Good morning. I have a question. I have a golden clematis and also a traveler's joy clematis. Grows up on the southeast corner of my house. That is the area that gets where the snow really disappears quickly.
Yep.
So I'm wondering, I'm looking and it's getting pretty dry there, especially where the golden is planted. Should I be adding some snow cover to it?
Yeah, absolutely. The top is fine. Both those ones, the Tanganata, and which is the golden one, and also the Prairie Traveler's Joy. The one thing nice about those two varieties is they'll bloom from their old wood, right? They don't have to come from the bottom. like a jackman eye or one of the other ones where they come from the bottom all the time. So these will bloom from the old wood. So all of these really need to do is protect that, like just like you said, just throw a little bit of snow on top of it. And if you can't have any snow around, you can even use some old leaves around the yard that might be underneath.
I've got a couple of bags of leaves from the fall that I kept for other reasons.
Yep. So what you can do so they don't blow away, if you want, put them into a white garbage bag.
Oh, yeah.
Put them in there about the consistency of a pillow, right? Don't fill it right up, but about the consistency of a pillow. Then you can set them down on top of the plant up against the house there, and then you can put a rock or a stick or something like that so they won't blow away.
Right.
And that will protect them until you're ready to take it off because the frost is coming out of the ground then.
Great.
Then you don't have to worry about the snow, you know, every time the snow melts, which is every day now.
Right, exactly. What about a fern leaf peony? It's not right near the foundation, but it does get some snow.
That's one too. Put those leaves or that bag of leaves over top of the fern leaf peony, because you want to protect that, because that is a precious plant.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful plant. You want to protect that, especially just for the month of March and the first week of April, especially. Because we can get some cold temperatures yet until then.
Okay, great. No, I've had my fern leaf peony for, I would say, at least 20 years.
Oh, good for
years.
You. Good for you.
It blooms beautifully every year. The only problem with them, the flowers don't last long enough.
Yeah, they don't last. All the peonies last for such a short time, but when they do come out, they're gorgeous.
I know people go by and have to ask, what is that plant? Right. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your program.
Great. Thank you so much, Gene. All right. We've got tons of texts coming in now. This one is from Mary Lou from North Portal. Hello. Anything special with the care of bamboo plants once planted in dirt?
Yeah. Once planted in your soil that you have inside the house, just I like to let the top inch or so dry out, but the bottom I'll keep in moist, in more moist. So just let the top inch dry out, then water thoroughly so the water comes out the bottom of the pot. One thing bamboo like is that they normally grow in nature close to, you know, they love to be growing near a stream or something like that, okay? And so one thing that works really good is you put a little bigger tray underneath the plant, put some pebbles or rocks in it so that the pot does not sit in the water, but is just over top of the water. Now, all that water that sits in that tray just keeps, and you keep water in that tray, it'll evaporate and go up to the plant and give it humidity, and it'll love it.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense, actually, just kind of recreating its natural habitat almost.
Yep. So you never see a bamboo plant right in the water. That's why you don't want the tray, the pot sitting in right in the tray where it's submerged in the water. But they're always at the edge of the water, so that's why you put it in a pebble tray. It works perfect.
Cool. That's a really good tip. All right. This one is from Lynn from Kendall. Hi, Rick. Can you shed some light on using coffee grounds in the garden and in your compost? I'm finding conflicting information online.
Anything organic like that, of course, coffee grounds is a natural product. Will always help to in the garden. But I always tell people that you don't have to use a lot in one spot. So work it in with other compost.
Yeah.
And then it'll add. So I don't like putting a ton of leaves, you know, in my compost at one time or a ton of grass. I'll put in layers. And so if you do that with your garden at all times, I mean, there's lots of people that say coffee grounds work to help to get rid of different insects and that. I've never tried that myself, but I get lots of callers that said coffee grounds do work. And but anything in small portions will work just fine, and no different to coffee grounds.
Okay, just for my own personal curiosity now, one of my friends posted recently online that they were saving all of their eggshells for in their compost.
Yeah,
When you're using them, what do you do? Like, can you throw them in, like, just as you've cracked them, or should I crunch them up or grind them up? What do you recommend?
Anything will break down quickly if you crush it up.
Okay.
So just crush it up, put it in there. Also, eggshells is a good way to protect against things like slugs, those kind of things. It does add calcium, too, to the soil for a lot of good plants, but you need a lot of eggshells to add a lot of calcium. So
yeah.
You do need to supplement with like we talk about the alfalfa pellets. They have a lot of calcium in it, way more than eggshells do. So, but yeah, definitely anything organic. Composting is huge. It keeps it from going into our landfills anyways.
Yep.
And you may as well use it in your garden, and because it is in a great organic way of fertilizing your plants.
Perfect. All right. This text is from Corey. Can I start evergreens in the spring from the small broken 6-inch branches off the trees that break off from the wind that you see on the spring in the ground?
Yeah, no. From evergreens, you said?
Yeah, evergreens.
Yeah, no, they won't start. Evergreens start from seed.
Okay.
And or otherwise tissue culture, but you'll never get them start from a cutting. That only works in evergreens for some cedars, but you won't work from spruce trees.
Okay, sounds good. All right, if you've got a question, give us a call. Send us a text, 1-877-332-8255. This text is from Pat in Melfort. Good morning. I have a hibiscus plant that I've had in my house all winter. It looks very good with nice green leaves, etc. I want to put it back out into my yard for the spring. Can you please tell me how to prepare it? Do I need to cut it back? Can I leave it in the original pot?
Yeah, if you want to do some pruning, this is the time of the year. They'll love to be pruned right now. And so you cut it back up to basically 20-25%. Thin it out if you want. Now is a great time for all houseplants to be transplanted. This is the time of the year when the daylight hours are starting to get longer, Brittany.
Yep.
So it's a great time to transplant all your plants. And remember, only go to one size larger. Don't put it into don't go from a 4-inch to a 12-inch pot. They won't bloom for you as well. So they have like I said earlier in the show, they like having the roots touching the side of the pot to bloom. And so only go to one size larger, and just make sure that when you pull it out of the pot, that if the roots are all spiraling because they've been root bound, just take your fingers and tickle those roots out so they're not spiraling so much, and then just transplant it into a new pot. And then when you put it outside, one thing you have to remember is that you just don't want to go from indoors and put it in the hottest part of the yard. They need a little transition, so you may want to put it in a spot where you have some, shade to it, and then you can move it into a spot where it's better, for more sun.
Perfect. All right, now we're going to head back to the phone lines. We've got Joe in PA on the line. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
What's your question for Rick?
I have a question. I just recently moved into a new home in Prince Albert, and they have kind of a homemade style of a pergola over the walkway. It's covered in some sort of a vine, and I'm not sure what it is, but it almost looks like it has small bunches of grapes. There's still some berries or whatever that grew last year on it, so I'm curious to know what it is.
Yeah, it'll be a grapevine. Yeah, it'll be a Concord-style grape. Okay, it could be. That's what it sounds like it is. And so it's a Concord-style grape, so it produces grapes every year. It grows very fast, big leaves. You'll be able to tell more once we get into the season when the actual leaves pop out. You can tell. And if you want to really get if you want, you can send a picture to Rick at DutchGrowers.com. Take a picture of it right now, and then I can identify it for sure for you. But it sounds like it's a Concord-style grape, and they're very hardy, grow very fast. You can even give them a bit of a pruning right now. They're growing in places where you don't want them to grow.
Well, actually, I was hoping that I might be able to relocate them and wanted to know. The stalk is quite thick. I'm going to say it could be, as much as 2 to 3 inches around in some places. Should you just leave them alone, or are you able to relocate them?
Yeah, when they're that old, it's a little tougher to relocate them, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But you can start new slips from that one, okay? You can even, if you want, you can put have a branch come down to the ground, throw some dirt over top of it, and it'll root right into the ground, and then you can transplant that new one over to someplace else, okay?
Oh.
But if it's that old, you say the 3 inches, that's been there for a little while. So if you have to move it, the best time to move it is just as soon as the frost is out of the ground around the 15th of April. That's the only time that they will survive. But, I mean, that old of a plant, it'll be kind of tough to get it to move at that age.
Sure. And to start a new slip, as you mentioned, just get one of the branches, the end of the branch, into new ground. And it's
new ground. Yep.
Okay.
Leave it there for a few weeks, and you'll notice it will put out little roots out of the stem. And then you can trim it, leave it attached to the plant, but then trim it off afterwards, and then transplant that newly rooted stem.
Perfect. Okay. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Joe. All right. I am Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and you are listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. All right. We have got tons of questions coming in over the text line. Remember, you can also give us a call. The number is 1-877-332-8255. This is a question we hear every single year, Rick. My potatoes always get scabby skins. I plan to move them to a different area of the garden. Will that help? Or what causes it and how can I prevent it?
Yeah, it's basically you'll get scab if you got too much basically compost.
Yeah.
So wherever you're going to put potatoes, don't put a lot of compost into the soil. Just plain soil. It's all they need, okay? So that's important. Moving and relocating your potatoes every single year.
Yep.
So every year, put them in a different location, especially if you put them in a place where you've had things like beans before, peas, that they just love it if you have those type of things, okay? So, rotate your crops always around your garden, especially wherever you put a ground crop, whether it doesn't mean a potato, carrot, you know, radish, you know, onion, doesn't matter. Put them in a different location where you had something that grows above ground, like things like your lettuce or your pepper or your peppers or any of the tomatoes, any of that. Switch those two every year and you won't have such problems.
Perfect. All right. Here's another potato question from Fern in Saskatoon. Good morning. I have a bag of potatoes that are starting to sprout. Could I keep them for planting in May? Should I leave them whole or cut where the eyes are and keep them cool?
Yeah, you can cut them if you want. One thing about using potatoes that aren't certified potatoes, you have to watch that if there's anything that any diseases or anything they caught from the year previously, it'll be contained in the plant, and you'll have problems with them growing. So that's a lot of people have problems with get them to actually be viable potatoes the next year. So that's why we use new seeds, and it's been a thing that we've used. That's been an issue a lot of years is using old potatoes. A lot of times you don't get the yields or you don't get the same results in the plants as you do if you get new seeds. You can do it, absolutely, and you can cut them, yes.
Okay, perfect. This is a question from Derek in Moose Jaw. What is the best time to graft apple trees? Trying to graft a Carol to a good land. Carol is about 20 years old and seems to be unavailable to purchase.
Yeah, Carol is a nice apple, but I had a little bit of trouble with hardiness with it, so that's why you won't see it around as much because it's not as vigorous as other varieties. Yes, you can graft the apple, and you can do. I would suggest you can graft it in April. You can start doing grafting. If you're doing budding, that's down a little bit later in the season. If you want to bud, you can also do a tea bud. So you can look it up how to do a tea bud as well, and you can do that. You collect some of the wood in the month of March and April and then put in the fridge, and then you can tea bud later in the summertime. So you can look at where you're doing that. But grafting, you could do, definitely you could do some grafting here coming up in the end of March and the beginning of April.
Okay, perfect. All right, now we've got Stephanie on the line in Oxbow. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is, I had heard before about turning back your Saskatoon, and I wasn't sure what time of the year or how much. Like, my Saskatoons are probably over 8 feet tall.
Yeah, you can. This month of March and the first week of April is the best time to prune the Saskatoons. And I would suggest if you want, you can take them right down to about 6 feet tall again. And now is the time to do it.
Okay. And then, so you just cut everything down to 6 feet.
Yep. Yep. They'll love it. You'll get lots of branching, and then those love it. Yeah. So you can do that this month and the first week of next month.
Okay, and can you do that every year, or should you wait until they get to be, you know, 8 feet again and then do it?
No, you can prune them each year. Then it's not such a stress in the plant. So just keep it at 6 feet every year, and it'll be way better for the plant.
Okay, thank you very much.
Perfect.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much, Stephanie. All right, here is a text from Larry in Dalmany. I need some growing tips for growing watermelons. I have a greenhouse, but anything I've grown in the last 2 years gets to about the size of a softball and then stops or dies.
Okay, so they get about the size of a softball.
Yeah.
One thing about it is good that it's greenhouse, because the only way you can get them to finish off here is you got to start them early. So you're going to be starting them in the house, or obviously in the greenhouse, around the third week of March to the first week of April. Start them inside the house, and then I've normally planted them right out into the yard.
Okay.
And rather than in the greenhouse, so transplanting them, you know, around the main long weekend outside. And then I found that you have to, they like the cool evenings, especially later on. Okay, but what they have to do is that they don't like too cool. So what I do have to do if I want a 17-pound watermelon, if we had 17-pound watermelons before, is that I've used a crop cover, which is that white fabric. And starting around the September 1st, I start covering them in the evening with the fabric, and they actually in that next week of April of September is when they put most of their size on. Because our season is a little bit short here for watermelon. So that's why we have to start indoors, start them early, get them growing, and then transplant them outside into the ground, and then crop cover them when the nights start getting cool at the end of August or at the beginning of September.
Perfect. All right, here is a question from Wayne in Humboldt. What is the best time to trim a fire bush? Is a one-third trim too aggressive?
No, a fire bush, I'm thinking about of a burning bush.
Yeah.
Okay, and so actually one-third is not a problem. You can trim them back even in half right now. This time of the year, they'll pop right back. It's not a problem with the burning bush at all.
Okay, and this one is from Betty from Saskatoon. I have a clematis that is very similar to a Jack Manny. How do I propagate it?
Okay, most of them go by softwood cutting. So once you start putting their new growth on, you can take a slip from it, and then you can start with some rooting hormone. And you use rooting hormone number 2, and then you pop it into a little jiffy pot, and then you have to mist them. So you have to put a little dome over top and keep humidity is one thing, and then misting them, keeping them moist, and then in about 7 to 14 days they'll root, and then once they've rooted, then you can transplant them where you want to put them.
Perfect. All right, we've got a lot more questions to get to. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and you're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. The weather is beautiful out there today, and it's clearly got a lot of people thinking about their gardens because we've got tons of questions.
Yeah, you know, Brittany, this week I had lots of landscapers call me about the availability of plants for this summer because they've never had so many calls from customers wanting to get quotes to get landscaping done. So if you do it yourself, not it'll be easy, but I mean, if you're someone that wants to get a landscaper to do work for you, I'd suggest you get on that fairly shortly.
Well, and you know, I think with the pandemic, just so many of us, you know, we were all stuck home last summer. We're going to be stuck home probably for a good part of this summer. So a lot of us are thinking of improving our yard. It's where we're going to be spending a ton of time. So
I heard to get a hot tub, you're looking at 6 to 8 months to get a hot tub.
Gosh.
And also for a pool, they're looking at some companies are booking 2 years in advance now to put a pool in.
Yeah, but really it's no surprise when you look at what's been going on.
Yep.
So, get on it if you're thinking about upgrading your yard. All right, we've got Dave in Regina on the line. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, thanks. All right, what's your question?
My question is, it comes up every year about elm trees, and I realize about pruning and all that kind of stuff. But my question is, there was quite a program where the RM used to go out and take a lot of the elm trees down that had Dutch elm disease. Now, you've got an acreage, and I don't know how big your acreage is, Rick, but I mean, do you Do you have a lot of elm trees that have fallen down and just laying on the ground that have been around like 20 years or something like that? But there certainly is out here, lots of them. And I'm just wondering if there's, is it gets to the point where they're no longer dangerous? You can sort of cut them up and use them for firewood and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, no, like actually storing firewood is not legal in Saskatchewan, so for Melmwood. So you, if you need to, if you do have, one thing about areas like where you have, if you have Dutch elm disease in your area, if you got elmwood laying around, that's what's going to attract the elm beetle, okay? Now, you may not have the elm beetle in your area, you know, but it's a perfect result of it, of attracting, perfect scenario for attracting the elm beetle, so you will have that problem. But if you do have,
There's thousands of dead elms right around, like they're in farmer fields and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, especially from the old Manchurian elm, you know, that we used to plant as shelter belts, right?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And so it's pretty hard to, one thing about those type of areas is that, you know, a lot of those elm areas, trees, shelter belts are basically isolated, I would say. They're not along like a creek bed or a river bed, or in most cases, okay. It's going to be an issue for those areas where it will be a hotbed for the elm beetles if they do get into that area, because they'll love that type of scenario.
Okay, well, they're not, like, the RM isn't doing due diligence anymore. They're not coming out and checking trees anymore. They just don't have the budget available for it.
Yeah, they will.
I don't know about your RM, RM, but, I mean, certainly around Long Lake, there's so many places where there's elm trees, right?
Yeah, they will check if you see symptoms of a tree during the season and it's wilting. Okay, and you see, if you just down branches, they won't come and check it. But if you see branches that are wilting, you can contact the Saskatchewan Parks and Recreation, okay? They will send somebody out if they see actually some plants that are wilting. Unless you're in an area that there's a lot of Dutch elm disease in already, then they'll probably know that's an issue there. So it's just a matter of, especially if you're like Long Lake or, you know, it's down the Capel Valley, there's some places where it's Dutch elm disease has established itself already, and there's not much they can do other than, you know, because there's it's in the natural stands of elm trees, where most of Saskatchewan doesn't have natural stands. They've all been planted stands, right? And but if you do see wilting plants, you can try to give the Saskatchewan government.
Well, I'm familiar with the symptom. I'm familiar with it. But a lot of the trees were taken out of here already. We had about a 10-year period where they were here every year taking trees out.
Yeah.
But the last five or 6 years or 8 years, they have done absolutely nothing out here. So, does that mean that there is no more Dutch elm in this area?
Most likely there is some, but like you said, it's become now it's probably established itself, and they don't have the resources, right? So the biggest thing to watch for firewood is that if it stays in the area that it's in, but just when you have firewood, a lot of times people take it with them camping and doing different things.
I know. I realize that.
Yeah.
I never move any piece of wood. I find dead branches in my area, I usually burn them with a big fire or something like that. Doesn't matter what it is.
That's perfect.
Okay, then.
Okay.
Thank you very much. You have a good day.
Thanks so much, Dave. All right, now we are going to do the quickest text blast. We'll get as many of these answered as we can. This is from Diana from Unity. Good morning, Rick. Can you tell me how soon I should start my tomato plants?
Tomato plants, some tomatoes, especially some cherry tomatoes, you can start right about now.
Okay.
And before the end of March, you should have your tomatoes started, okay? So this month.
Okay, this is from Tim. I'm starting an asparagus patch planted 18 inches apart. Will they fill in or will they just grow from the crown?
They'll grow from the crown, but they will eventually start filling in as well. Absolutely.
Okay, perfect. This is from Conrad from Swift. I have cedars and junipers that have been eaten back to sticks by deer. If there are no buds and green left, can they recover?
Yeah, they will, but it'll take quite a few years.
Okay.
If they're that far. So, I've had that same situation happen. And you can get them come back, but fertilizing from May the 10th until July the 15th, every 3 weeks, for smaller plants, about 1 to 2 gallons of water. For taller plants, about 4 gallons of water mixed with the fertilizer every 3 weeks, but it's going to take still 3 to 5 years to get them to come back. So it may be quicker just to start again.
Yeah. All right. This is from Pat in Saskatoon. I had a severe case of red lily beetles last year. They ate most of my lilies. You advised me to use Ambush. I'm wondering if I should use it as they come through the ground this year.
Absolutely. Use it as preventive, and so do that every 14 days, every 10 to 14 days.
Okay.
And if you've had them last year, they'll be there again, okay? So you got to keep on top of it, and you got to get the bottom side of the leaves especially. If you're just spraying the top of the leaves, you're not going to get them all.
Okay.
And also, you'll see the little red egg sacs underneath
yes.
the leaves.
Yeah.
So you can inspect your plants, and you can just take your fingernail and take them off the plant too, and that way, or just squish them and you can get rid of them that way too.
Okay, perfect. This is from Scott from Pilot Butte. Hi, Rick. Should I clear the snow from around my Brandon cedar trees to help the ground thaw out, or should I keep the snow around them?
I like keeping the snow around them this time of the year. The biggest thing you do right now to protect them is just to put some burlap around them. This is the month that your cedars will brown. It's not back in January, February. It's March, okay? So if you want to protect them, the snow is good for protecting the roots yet for the cold, if we get some cold snap. So put up some burlap around the plant to protect them from browning.
Okay, perfect. All right, here's one from Dean in Estevan. I got my lemon tree to start getting new branches and leaves. I cut it right back to the main trunk. Should I trim these new branches or just let them go?
Let them grow now.
Okay.
Let them grow now, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Perfect. All right, no name on this one. Good morning. I have Nanking cherry bushes in my yard, and I'm wondering when is the best time to prune them and how aggressive should I be?
You can be fairly aggressive with Nanking cherries, and this month and the first week of April is absolutely the best time to prune Nanking cherries. So you can prune them back. I like pruning them back. With Nanking cherries, I prune them back up to a half of the plant. Okay? Not a problem.
Okay, perfect. All right, from Lynn from around Hafford. My farm's lilacs are about 40 years old, and they've had less and less blooms each year. What should we do? If pruning, how much can we trim and when?
Okay, so if you're doing, how old did you say, 40?
40.
Yeah, so if you want to do a major pruning on them, now is the time to do that, and you can trim them back in half if you want, not a problem. But you won't get blooms this year. It'll be blooms the following, like, 1 or 2 years later.
Okay.
But I've had some ones out in the nursery where they were 12 feet tall, and I cut them down to three to 4 feet tall. But they're all back up 12 feet again, and they're blooming like crazy. So that took a bunch of years to get it to 12 feet again.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you want to trim back in half, it's not a problem. If you just want to trim back a third, but you won't get as many blooms the first year do a major pruning. Otherwise, you prune every year right after they finish blooming, prune a little bit, and then they'll force new growth and have new flowers on that new growth each year. So that's the better way to prune it, a light pruning every year right after they finish blooming.
Perfect. Awesome. Thanks so much, Rick. Have a really good week.
You too.
I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and you're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.